Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way. And I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. Again he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude, and the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So the first section is lengthy. It's 1 through 16. And it is the parable of the householder and the vineyard. So it's a picture of a man who has a vineyard and he needs laborers for that vineyard to go and to till or pick or something. The work is not described, only that it is work in a vineyard. And so the man goes out at the first thing in the morning and draws in some day laborers and says, "I'll give you a penny if you work all day." And they say, "That's great. Happy to do that." He goes out the third, the sixth, the ninth, and the 11th hour. So notice we have a 12-hour workday. Just saying. And so here we have then, at the 11th hour, well, notice that all along the way, the householder says, "Come and work for me, and whatever is right, I will give you." Whatever is right. And so, even with regard to the folks that were called in at the 11th hour, notice, he found about the 11th hour, verse 6, he went out and found others standing idle. They said to him, because no man hired, he said, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive." At every stage of this narrative here that Jesus tells, it's not to impugn the householder, but to say how he is doing rightly. And so here then we have, at the end of the day when it's time to reckon up, because in Bible times you paid the wage at the end of the day, everyone comes to the householder to be paid. The guys that worked for 1 hour, they get a penny. The guys that worked for 9 hours, 4 hours, they get a penny. 6 hours, they get a penny, and all the way down to the guys that worked for 12 hours. And they've watched all of this go by, and they thought, "Wow, bonus. He's going to give us more than a penny, because he's given these guys who didn't work hardly at all a penny. So certainly what's right, certainly what's fair, is that we should get more." Not so. They show up, and they get paid a penny. And so the first reaction that they have, their first response, is to murmur. They murmur against the householder. And notice what the householder says, and this is very important. He says, "Is your eye evil because mine is good?" If I want to give all of these others a penny, and we've agreed to a penny, and they've worked less than you, what is that your business? It is a reward that is mine to dispense, and you and I, we had already agreed at what it would be. And so Jesus tells us what the import of this is. It is that, and it says that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is that those who come late are blessed in the same way as those who have been there early. And in the first century, during the teaching ministry of Christ, we understand that this means that the spiritual jealousy that the Jews had, not wanting the Gentiles to be blessed as they were, was a wicked and evil desire. And they're murmuring against God for his magnanimity to Gentiles was sinful and evil murmuring. So what Jesus is doing is he is laying out for them the proper understanding of the kingdom of God, and he's done this in many different places in his earthly ministry. At one point he said, "What are you going to think when you're standing at the outside looking in, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are inside, and people have come from all over the east and the west, and they're sitting down eating bread in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out of it?" And so what Jesus is doing here is he is showing that it is not by birthright, it's not by national heritage, it is by faith in Christ and the determination of the reward of the Lord God himself upon those. And so we see the gracious nature of the kingdom of God. Those who work hard, those who work longer, they don't get any more. Because the reward is a reward of grace. It is not a reward of merit. It is not a reward of debt where you have somehow drawn the householder into debt by your working. And so there are all kinds of wonderful things to be had there from that parable against spiritual pride and in favor of grace. The second section is verses 17 through 19, those three verses, and Jesus once again draws his his circle close and tells them that he is going to be betrayed, that he will be condemned to death, that they will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock him, to scourge him, and finally to crucify him, and then that he shall rise again. It is difficult to know whether or not they understood fully what he was talking about at this point. There are other gospel accounts that say he said the same things to them, and they didn't get it. They didn't quite understand. They were looking for the hope of the first century Jewish church was that Jerusalem would be restored, Rome would be thrown out, and they were still somewhat infected by that. They did not expect that their Messiah would come and die, that he would wage war in a much mightier sphere than the Roman theater, right? But he would wage war actually in the heavens themselves. All right, so then in verses 20 through 29, we have the mother of the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, Boanerges, the sons of thunder. And notice that, it's difficult to know exactly what's going on here, but it sure seems interesting that the mother comes to ask Jesus whether or not that James and John can sit at his right hand and on his left. They're not the ones asking, and we don't know where Zebedee is. He's not asking, but the mother actually comes to Christ. Perhaps it is thought that she might have a hearing because she's mom. I don't know. It's difficult to know exactly why it's her. But notice what Jesus says. What he says is very, very interesting. First of all, he asks them a question about what they are willing to endure. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And what he means by that is, are you willing to be put to death? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to follow me into that kind of leading, because that's where I'm headed. This is right after he's told them about his crucifixion. And so they say, yes, we are. We are. And once again, we have to wonder if they really understood what they were talking about at that point. Now, it may have been, excuse me, I have this tickle this afternoon. Excuse me, I've got water, so I'm fine. Don't worry about it. It may have been that they just had their eyes on the end so much that they didn't care about how they were going to get there. But I rather suspect that they thought that getting there was a lot easier than what they thought it was going to be. And that's why Jesus asks them the question about being baptized with the baptism with which he was baptized. And so this section is, in the first part of it, talking about counting the cost of discipleship, isn't it? Counting the cost of discipleship. And then notice he tells them that after you follow me and do all of these things, that the place at my right hand and on my left, that's not for me to give. That's for my Father to give. So you're asking the wrong guy, in other words. It's already determined. Just concern yourselves with following me. That's the point. All right, so then the others are indignant against them because they would deign to ask Christ to be elevated above the rest. And so then Jesus speaks to them about what it means to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And being a leader in the kingdom of God is different from being a leader anywhere else. Because being a leader in the kingdom of God is all bound up with sacrificial service for one another. The greatest leader the greatest, the chief, the prince in the kingdom of God is the one who serves the most, the one who sacrifices the most in that service, the one who spends and is being spent on behalf of the people of Christ. And so the path to greatness in the kingdom of God is exactly opposite as it is in the kingdom of this world. In the kingdom of this world, you want someone to wait on you hand and foot, because that's what greatness means. And in the kingdom of God, waiting on someone hand and foot, that's what greatness means. So service then is not discouraged at all. It is encouraged, and it is given its proper due here in this discussion by Christ. In verse 26, "But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." And then that famous verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what leadership is, according to Christ. All right, so then the last section is the two blind men. We just have a picture here of two guys who recognize their need. This is the difficulty, right? Difficulty is we don't often recognize our need. These guys are blind. They recognize their need. They hear that Jesus is passing by, and so they refuse to be silenced, and they're crying out to Christ to come, to come over to them and to interact with them. They will not be silenced because they know their need. Can I say it this way? Sometimes folks give up too easy. They give up too easy. The blessing is too hard to obtain. Right? Isn't that what Jacob refused to do when he wrestled with the angel at Peniel? He wrestled with him all night. "I'm not giving up. No, no, you cannot leave me until you bless me." And so Jacob grabbed hold of that angel and said, "No, you may not leave until I get the blessing. I recognize you are greater than I am. Yes, you've struck me in my thigh. Yes, I'll limp the rest of my life. Yes, I know. I have been wrestling with God all my life. So that's why I need the blessing. So don't go until you bless me." And so these two blind men here, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Pipe down, you guys. "Son of David, have mercy on us." They will not be silenced until they interact with Christ. Don't give up early. Recognize the need. And that it's only Jesus who has what you need, right? All right, thus ends the reading of Matthew chapter 20. Let's